Yo, welcome back. You listen to the future of Sports Talk Radio. We are Choosing Toe Sports Podcast. I'm your host, King Hooley. I have to let you know why I'm laughing right now. You see all of us laughing right now.
We are not all of us.
No.
This is take two. Okay. All right. So anyway, like I said, I'm King Hooley. I'd like to welcome you guys back to another episode of Truth Be Told Sports Podcast. My boy White Mike's in the building. What's up, White Mike?
Oh, man, good. Glad to see we're back on some technical difficulties again. Been a little while.
You can't even blame me for this one.
Sure can't.
It happens. It happens.
For our invisible listeners that heard a while ago, back home, feeling better. Things are slowing down. Glad to be back home, getting back in the routine of things. So glad to be back with you guys and back on the show.
That's good, man. Because we missed you, bro. And I really appreciate that, man. And as you know,
earlier I said I didn't miss this. This time I'm on your side. I fully support you.
All right. Okay.
I'm cool.
What's going on over there in Hollywood? How's everybody over there?
No, everybody's good, man. We here. We breathing. We trying to make it. It's my birthday week. And
your camera fell over.
I hope you get a new stand for your birthday.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a whole new setup, hopefully. This is all his fault. I'm blaming you for everything that happened.
If you're watching this, you're gonna get sick, just so you know.
I'm pretty excited.
People are watching this with getting motion sickness. So sorry. So we apologize.
Yeah,
I apologize.
But yeah, my mojo was good, and then all of a sudden it's not. But anyway.
You're going to have to adjust your chair. So there we go. Hey,
there you go. There he is. There he
is. So yeah, it's going to be a constant struggle, but it's my birthday week, so I'm kind of trying to get planned on that. Hopefully we get to catch a game this week.
Okay.
O's game.
Sounds good.
Hopefully I got my boys Little League starting up this week too. So it's going to be a bit of a kind of busy week. But other than that, it's all good, man. Everything's good.
Sounds good. All right. Good stuff. Yeah, man.
How are you?
My week has been good so far. So good. We're finally, I think, we get very close to being all the way done, moved in. Trying to ripping and running in between two different spots, making donations, doing all that crazy stuff. Had some time, trying to catch up on some sports throughout it. Obviously, and we're going to talk about it on the show, the Women's National Championship game last night. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania popped off over the weekend. So, I was pretty busy. Pretty busy between both of those, So, yeah. But I'd like to welcome you guys back to another episode of the Truth Be Told Sports Podcast. I am King Cooley. I'm here with White Mike, Hollow Point. No Horace Jr. this week because he's still working right now. But I did send him an invite. He might pop in. He might pop out. We don't know. We'll see. Like I said, we're going to talk about the national championship with the women's national championship. Obviously, broke some records with his viewing, right? We're going to talk some NBA. The NBA this is the last week. I think the last day is Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. Whoever's in the playoffs is going to make the playoffs is already in. We're just shaking the tree to see who else, see how the leads fall with that. So we're going to talk that and maybe some WrestleMania, man, because that was really good, man. Shout out to I got to call him Paul Levesque. I can't call him
Paul Levesque.
Shout out to Paul Levesque. Because that was brilliant. But we'll talk more about that right now. But this is the point of the show where I hand it over to Hollow Point. He lets you know where to find us on the socials. Hollow Point, do you think?
Thanks a lot, King Hooley, and thanks everybody for joining us once again for another fantastic episode of the Truth Be Told Sports Podcast. First of all, I want to thank everybody, all the new listeners for coming in. Thank you for coming. Once again, leave your shoes at the front door as you walk through, but you're more than welcome when you hear your family, and we welcome you. Be alert that, our Uncle Ruckus, he doesn't wear a shirt. So he's going to have to be comfortable with that. Anyway, I want if you're watching, some of you are watching you from the from the Northeast Streaming Sports Network on Roku, and we again welcome you. See our pretty faces. Well, except for Mike, because he doesn't have proper lighting. But anyway, we also are a part of the Elite Sports and Entertainment Network. So we're making some moves here, and we hope you stay with us. Those are OGs. They've been with us since day one. We appreciate you. And once you now you know where we are, now you know where to find us. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, we have a Facebook group. We have a YouTube page. Go there, like, subscribe, comment, share, and share alike. We have an X, you know, like Twitter. We also have an Instagram, and we also have a TikTok. So you can all hit us all up on there. And then once our beautiful, fantastic, phenomenal webpage gets back up and running, you can get our merch. That's on www.truthbetoldsportspodcast.com.
Back to you. Is not going to leave me alone. I promise you, that website will be up. And once you get to that website, he talked about copying the merch. You can copy this merch like this. This nice Truth Be Told Sports Podcast cap. It's an older logo. Yeah. So it's new to you. You can still copy it. And I still like it, obviously, because right. I still rock it. But it'll be available there. White Mike.
Yeah, I am back and ready.
You're ready. Okay. All right. So without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I'd like to welcome you back to another episode of the White Mike Trivia Show. You know that trivia show within a podcast where White Mike asks King Cooley, Hollow Point, and Horace Jr., who's not here, by the way, trivia questions about sports, obviously. They get it right, they get 1 point. They get it wrong, White Mike gets the point. At the end of the game, who has the most points, they win. Simple, I guess. But here's your host. Who White? Oh my!
White Mike!
Welcome back! Welcome back, White Mike!
I'm glad to be back. Glad to see we have a sold out crowd again tonight.
Back arena, man.
We're gonna make this as hopefully as painless for you guys as possible. Okay. We have three baseball questions.
Any of them time machine questions.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. I'm cool with it, man. Send it. We're fine. We're fine.
But yeah, like Cooley said, they get whoever gets it correct gets 1 point. The most is the winner. If they get none, then I get to keep bragging rights that I stumped them. So without any further ado, let's get right into this. Okay. It's a little long, so I'm going to take my time going through it. How many pitchers have won multiple World Series championships, 2 Cy Young Awards, thrown multiple no-hitters?
Oh, my God.
And elected to multiple All-Star games.
How many?
Yep.
Multiple World Championships?
Multiple championships, 2 Cy Youngs, multiple no-hitters, and elected to multiple All-Star games.
I'm going to say 3. Final answer. I'm going to say 3.
4.
The $1 up did not help you.
Damn it.
It is 2.
Ooh. Oh, I was going to say 2. I should have went dollar down.
Yeah. Sandy Koufax. Wow. And okay. Tim Lincecum.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
West Coast. I was in New York, man. I'm like, first, when you said multiple Cy Youngs, I was like, Clemens. And then you said multiple world champions. I was like, okay. Clemens. Mm-hmm. And then you said no hitters. And I was like, that's fun fact. He's never thrown a no hitter.
Not one.
So that was like,
wow. Yeah, well, we've got a question before. Nolan Ryan has thrown several no hitters, but never won a
Cy Young. Exactly.
So our second question is also pitcher related. This one should be a little easier. How many pitchers have recorded both a 20-win season and a 50-save season?
How many?
Yeah.
A 20-win.
Wait, a 20-win season and a 50-win.
And a 50-save season.
50 saves.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm going to say two. I'm going to go two.
I'm going to go one.
It's three, I swear to God.
I'm going to say one.
Okay. Tell me your two and then tell me your one. And I'll tell you.
John Smoltz. Right. John Smoltz.
Dude, Jonathan Papelbon, and
he's straight up guessing.
Exactly. That's why I guessed two. That's
the answer. The answer is two.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
That's but why. one is Smoltz, and the other.
See,
is
I got half of it.
It's who?
Dennis who Eckersley. Eckersley.
Eckersley. That's right. He was okay. A starter.
And John Smoltz is the other one.
There you go.
I knew Smoltz was one of them.
Yeah, because he's the only person that I knew that left from the starting rotation and came back as a closer right. Because he had surgery. And
I didn't know Eckersley ever did. I thought all I know him as is a
closer.
As a closer. Yeah.
Yep.
Great closer, but closer nonetheless.
Hey, Smoltz was no slouch neither.
Smoltz was the shit. As a closer? Shoot. He was lights out. I think he found his sweet spot as a closer. He's like, shoot, I only got to do this for one inning, maybe two. Sign me up.
Done deal.
So the next one is not pitcher related.
All right.
But it is a baseball question still.
Okay.
So how many players have back-to-back MVP awards but are not Hall of Famers?
Back-to-back MVP awards
and not Hall of Famers.
Not Hall of Famers. two Barry Bonds and Pete Rose.
Yeah, that's all I can think of. That's exactly what I was like Pete Rose has to be one of them.
All right, so is that what you're going with?
I'm gonna go with that, man. Okay, that's all. Back to back?
I'm just gonna agree with him. I already won.
All right, so the answer is two, but yes. Your people are incorrect.
I got two. I'm leaving with two.
It's Roger Maris and Dale Murphy.
I'm out. Yeah, who guesses Dale Murphy? Who does that? Nobody. These kids not even know who he is.
I know.
Yeah. Dale Murphy. Who's
did he do that with the Braves or did he do that with the Philly? Who did he do it with?
Apparently the Braves, because it said it showed some stats from him. So
right.
In 1982, he hit 36 homers in 162 games. Mm-hmm. In 1983, he hit 36 homers in 162 games. 84, 36 homers. And in 85, he hit 37. If nothing else, the man was the epitome of consistent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like 36, that's enough. 37 is he's an overachiever.
So do y'all want one fun fact?
Let's go with one fun fact.
Babe Ruth retired in 1935. Mm. Do you know when the home run had to go over the fence to be counted?
Oh, I like when. I know this is before.
Okay, so until 1930, any ball that bounced over the fence was considered a home run also.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow. Wait a minute now.
Yeah. It says until 1930, any ball that bounced off the ground and over the fence was ruled a home
ground
run.
Ground rule doubles? Wow.
On an unrelated note, Babe Ruth retired in 1935.
Right. We're cooking the books.
Wow. There could have been a lot of books cooked back then.
Cooking the books.
Wow. That's crazy. Hey, appreciate that, White Mike. Thanks a lot, brother.
That was good.
That's good stuff. You guys ready to get in the show?
Still, man.
All right. Yeah, as long as the recorder's still going.
Yeah, it's still we're still recording. You see it right there, the quarter. It's funny. throw me off, man. Anyway, I was like, wait a minute. I looked at the quarter. Yeah, I looked at the corner and was like, okay, how much time? We won't have any time. And I looked over, it's like, it's just record. I'm like, damn it. Yeah. Last night, the South Carolina women's clinched another championship by beating Iowa. The Caitlin Clark led Iowa Hawkeyes 87-75 and to clinch another championship for Coach John Staley. Did you guys catch the game? Catch any highlights? Catch anything game at all?
Caught several of the highlights.
Okay.
The women's game? I caught the whole game.
There you go. Caught the whole game. Like me.
The whole entire game.
Well, I got to ask sometimes, you know, because, you know, you're married, man. Sometimes we don't get a chance to get in front of the TV.
You know what was so funny about this game in particular?
I got a year and a half. I don't even know what TV is.
It'll tell you how much of a reach that Caitlin Clark has. My wife goes, hey, do you know Caitlin Clark was playing in the national championship game? And I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I talk about sports all the time. I kind of have to know.
Yeah. And
she's like, yeah. She's like, I like her. And mind you, my wife is, she likes football, like Super Bowl. Like, you know what I mean? Like she'll tune in sometimes, but like the Super Bowl she'll watch.
Right.
But that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that lets you know the reach that Caitlin Clark has had on casual women.
Yeah.
Wanting to watch the game and see how she's doing. You know what I mean? So I think that's pretty cool.
So, okay. What about the game? Let's talk about the game. Early on, I think they jumped out. You know, Caitlin Clark was doing her thing. I think she had 18 points in the first quarter or something like that. The first half. Right now?
Yes, 18 in the first quarter.
18 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, she couldn't miss. Pat, 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 pat. She broke the tournament record for most points in a tournament for a career.
That's okay. And then
I think she was gunning for that. So that's why she was in kind of an urgency mode. And she was kind of super aggressive on just taking shots and you know, on the offensive instead of she's normally a good team player. Like she makes the right play most times, but every now and again, she will jack up some balls. And I think the first quarter she did shoot.
Yeah. Obviously
she just happened to hit. She was like three. I want to say she was 3 for 5 from deep and she was super aggressive. So like, yeah, they didn't have an answer for her.
Right. Initially, but down the stretch, South Carolina takes over. What happened? In your opinion?
Oh, yeah.
Talent.
What'd you see?
So, honestly, when you have a 6'7" phenom as your anchor, it's kind of hard to get rebounds. And so what happened was they started getting all the rebounds and they started doing a better job of contested shots. And the thing with South Carolina is they have a lot of athletes on their team.
Yes.
And not saying that Iowa doesn't, but
Iowa doesn't have the
South, right. They have 2-3. South Carolina has a whole team of them, you know. Oh, wow. And they have a whole team of girls that just get up and down the floor and just can do a lot of different things athletically that I feel like they outmatched. Like Iowa played tough as a team. But like as far as like being able to grab rebounds and being able to play higher than the other team. I think South Carolina, they don't necessarily play above the rim, but they play higher than the other team, if that makes sense. And then they were able to trap, get away from the trap. They played a lot of good on-ball defense. And for the most part, they stayed out of foul trouble. I think one thing Iowa does well is they draw fouls really good. So they fall down like they've been shot a lot if you watch the
game. there was a controversial one at the end of that UConn game.
Oh, man.
That's a correct call.
You feel like it was a good call? I thought it was crazy.
Yeah, it was one of those.
She's moving. She's still sliding that foot, trying to get.
Once she slowed it down, you saw it that way.
It was a good call. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those calls that was unfortunate because mm-hmm. of when it got called.
Yeah,
like definitely. you want to be able to see a game end in a shot or a mm-hmm. miss or you know some kind of effort. Like we didn't see that game end. There was not one shot taken after that call. It was just out of bounds, foul, out of bounds. Yeah. You know, and that was it.
Yeah.
So the way it ended was kind of like.
That's what makes it
unceremonious. You know, mm-hmm. you didn't make it. UConn didn't get a chance to win. That doesn't make it wrong. Like, the call was right.
Yeah.
It's just the way it ended made it controversial.
The way it ended made it like, you know, oh, this game is rigged. They all won it. It was a better.
Yeah, it was a great call.
Yeah.
If that would have been 5 minutes ago in the game, nobody would have complained about
it. If I'm the ref, I'm not making that call. But it was made, and it was the correct call. So I can't get mad at that. Now, as far as the South Carolina game, there was just a lot of and to the ref's credit and to the credit of the announcers who talked about it, the refs told them at the beginning of the game with the point of emphasis was you can't like do the little push up grabby as a defender. Right. They were going to be calling it. So a lot of times what Iowa did was kind of overemphasize that fact. When South Carolina was aggressive on defense, they would kind of like, you know, kind of draw the foul, like kind of not necessarily throw themselves on the ground, but like, use South Carolina's big size against them, per se. You know what I mean? Like say when you're playing against like Shaq and you bump into him, but you flail like he knocked you down. And the refs are going to be like, oh, well, he's bigger than her. So he must obviously have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was a lot of that. But South Carolina kind of overcame that.
But it's smart play.
Oh, it was gamesmanship. It was for sure. But they were using what they got. Iowa's tough and everything. They made good shots. They played good team ball. I think South Carolina just, like I said, they were faster. They jumped higher and they grabbed more rebounds at the end. And they kind of overwhelmed Iowa in the end. And they couldn't. They had Caitlin Clark in the second half taking shots that were not necessarily in her comfort zone. And that kind of made her more into a playmaker. And they made her drive to the basket more than she would like to. Now, granted, saying all that, she still dropped 30.
Yeah.
So
she's still talented. Like, no one's denying that at all.
I think one of the big facts of the game is South Carolina's same starting five from last year. Like, Coach Staley kept her.
No, she didn't.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I saw something that said she brought all of her.
No. She actually brought none of them back.
Yeah, zero.
Those guys that started this year. She had two freshmen. None of them started last year. Yeah, matter of fact, her leading scorer last year she plays for the Indiana Fever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was actually one of the things that what they were saying about her is this.
Maybe it said she didn't bring back any starters.
Did not.
That's what makes her a great coach. Is like she got them to buy in. Not only buy in, but they didn't lose, man. Like you know, what are we talking? They were undefeated.
Right.
Undefeated, bro.
Exactly. So
37, 38, no? Like that's bananas.
They finished 38.
Yeah,
So this game was like the most viewed Hoops game since the 2019 men's championship game between Virginia and Texas Tech. Brought in over 18.7 million people tuned in for it. I think it peaked at somewhere between 22 million, about peaked at 22 million. My question, right? A lot of people, and as you said, you spoke about your wife and how she, you know, being a casual fan, and she tuned into because you feel like the media made it like a Caitlin Clark thing, right? Yeah. Made it about Caitlin Clark. You know, they were on the revenge tour and they beat LSU, which actually was like another highly viewed game.
12.3 million, I think, something like that.
Yeah, well, they beat LSU. They talked about Caitlin Clark there. do you think, excuse me, the lack of coverage for South Carolina, do you find that disrespectful?
No. I'm not going to say I like it, but no. Let's look at Caitlin Clark is women's college basketball's LeBron James. Watch after their finals. They follow him off the court. They do a lot of the same things with them. Watch these NFL games where some of these big time players they get spun to if you know the camera spins to them. If it's after the Super Bowl, like there's several pictures of these guys on the sideline just standing there watching these celebrations. I'm not going to say I agree with the amount that they put on it versus South Carolina who won it, but I don't think it's disrespectful. It's a sports narrative. It's a TV narrative. What's going to draw the money? What's going to draw the talk? We're talking about it. What they created money. They created all these things. Negative publicity is still publicity. Mm-hmm. Whether we like it or not, like I said, I don't think it was disrespectful. I'm not going to agree with it. I think South Carolina deserved all the attention for what they did. Mm-hmm. But I get it. They spin it whatever way they can. And when you say media, like social media has been on South Carolina and Coach Staley for several years. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I think you brought in a lot of viewership from both sides of it because the national media sports shows are all Caitlin Clark, but then you go to a lot of social media and it's all Coach Staley in South Carolina, minus whatever right. memes have come out about Caitlin Clark these last 2 years.
So. Right. How about what you think?
They were absolutely disrespected. They were disrespected. Yes, cash rules everything around me. Yes, Caitlin brought all this money. But 37-0, bro. 37-0, and they treated him like they were, you know, Thanos. You know what I'm saying? Like they didn't even mention it that until the end. Like these guys had not lost a game all season, and that they've been playing. Not only had they not lost a game all season, but this is not like a seasoned team, like a returning senior-laden team. Mm-hmm. It was just a bunch of people put together, some freshmen and some transfers, and boom, you know, the Don Staley put a little sprinkle on it, and then 37-0, you know. And I just don't think it got mentioned enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of people waiting until way after the fact to come back to it and be like, oh man, that was dope. She did do that, didn't she?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm tired of it being and don't get me wrong, people laud over Dawn Staley. They think she's the greatest and all that. But like these moments are for these kids. Like you're not gonna get these moments like this again. And you have to be able to capture it when it happens. And I think it was a little unfair to South Carolina. Just the point to where when they actually did win, and this is this is why I feel this way. When they won, the story, if you want to paint the story for Caitlin, that's fine. I'm with it. She's a great player. She deserves her all of her accolades that she got up to this point. She deserves it, right? I have no beef with Caitlin whatsoever. But when the clock goes zero and it turns out that the Gamecocks won, all they did was pan. You see the cameraman pan Caitlin Clark, her reaction, how she's gonna high five everybody, how she's walking back to the tunnel, how she is in the locker room, you know. And then, oh, by the way, let's go ahead and get
South Carolina because they won. Yeah, I got you.
I guess they won, right? Did they win?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the championship, right? Okay.
Right. All right. Is there another game?
No.
Okay, so yeah, we got to get this. You know, it's like they almost forgot the confetti. I get to You know what I mean? It's like they forgot. Right. They forgot the championship package. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, quick, just throw it on her real quick. We can't have it. Just throw it on.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like they were afterthought. And I'm just man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like we shouldn't be. I don't know. I feel some kind of way. Just like
I feel you.
You know what I mean? Like if
I feel you. I feel you 100%.
Iowa had won.
Right.
I'm like, okay, she took down the big bad wolf. Whatever.
Yeah.
But like, we don't have to. I think we're too busy wanting to paint a good versus evil story. Mm. It doesn't have to be that way.
It don't.
It doesn't. Like, you can like South Carolina and Iowa. Because that's what we were in my house. We were like, oh, man, Caitlin just did a step back three. Wow, let's go.
Right, it was hard.
South Carolina comes in, do something. Man, that was tough. You know what I mean? Because, like, we're trying to enjoy the game because we're not – I'm not a mainstay watcher of girls – college basketball. I don't know anybody who is. So I'm like trying to enjoy all of the things. I ain't trying to pick one team over the other.
Exactly.
Right. I can't say that I wanted South Carolina to beat Iowa. I don't have no skin in the game. Like, I don't. It didn't bother me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, you know, not a single bit. So, for people to first of all, for people to take sides is dumb.
Yeah.
Like, unless you. Unless you are an alumnus from the school or you donate money to whatever, whichever school, you taking a side is dumb. Especially if you
don't or if Caitlin Clark didn't personally drop you.
Right.
Like,
if you don't have a vendetta against you.
What you mad at her for?
Yeah. I don't know what your anger is based on.
I don't get it either.
So, yeah, that's the only thing I feel the disrespect is because they didn't get the amount of coverage that I feel like they should have got leading up to and winning.
And winning. Like, agreed. 100%. Like, I thought about that, too. And there's no slight against Caitlin Clark. What she did was amazing. And what she's doing for, like, women's basketball in general is going to be great. Yeah. I can't wait to see her in the WNBA and see what happens. She's projected the number one overall pick. So this is it's gonna be great to see, you know, how she does it, how she does it there. And those ladies that are you know, in the WNBA, they're ready for it. I saw Diana Taurasi talk about her. You're doing that stuff there, like with other 18-year-olds. You wait till you come into this grown woman league. Now I'm like, let's go. Like, this is the
hey, real quick, Diana, old lady, calm down. Okay. You're old now, sweetie.
She's old. A white mama. You're, she can talk.
Right. You sound like a hater right now.
But I'm ready for that, bro. I think this is what women's basketball needs. 100%, bro.
It should come from someone who can play defense. She doesn't play defense. That's all I'm saying. Like, this ain't 10 years ago, Diana Taurasi. This is 40-year-old Taurasi. Her girl Sue Bird just retired. She needs to follow suit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so just this girl's young. They don't want none of this smoke.
You're not wrong. But she's not wrong. I don't think she's wrong either.
No, she's not wrong. Because she's just not.
There's a lot of talent in the WNBA now that Caitlin Clark is on the way, and you know, you're gonna see more eyes on the WNBA. Mm-hmm. Because she's coming.
Yes.
But it's also her being there. Angel Reese, like this whole core, like of college athletes, women's players that are making the transition, going to that. They're announcing, "Hey, I'm declaring for the WNBA."
Yep.
Great. That's awesome.
Which is like next week. By in case you didn't wonder.
It's yeah,
the 15th.
It's really quick. It's a quick turn.
Right, the turnover is amazing.
It's a quick turn.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, it's going to make it. I think it's going to draw more attention to that, and I think this is what the WNBA needs. You know, what I mean, you got to highlight the talent that's coming in there, and you got to take advantage of this somehow. A lot of people have talked about with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark being like Larry Bird, Magic Johnson of the league. I would say, I'm not going to say maybe not to that magnitude, but like not in comparing, you know, like careers. They're not going to, I don't think they're going to battle each other for NBA titles. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But just
until
in parallel, to me, just what Magic and Bird did, that rivalry did for the NBA at that point in time, I think that's what's going to be necessary. It was going to help that type of rivalry will help the WNBA right now.
I think
that's what I'm saying.
Talent, I think having more talent in the league is better. Mm-hmm. I agree with that point. I don't think they're at that point where they need a Magic Bird kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't see Angel. Like, what I'll say is, as much as I like Caitlin Clark's game, she has a lot of glaring weaknesses in her game. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Angel Reese. And I think, you know, not to, we could spend all day and point out little weaknesses, but at the end of the day, their marketing is what got them where they are right now. Mm-hmm. And I think they play well enough, and Angel Reese plays well enough to where they'll get in the league on talent. Mm-hmm. And then their marketing will get the eyes that need to get to where it goes. And then we'll be here talking about women's the WNBA. We've never done that on this show.
Yeah.
So that's it's already first here. We're talking about the college.
We've talked about WNBA, but not the action. Just like what they can do to be better.
You know? Yes.
And someone is listening to our show, 100% believe it. 100% believe it.
I'm just saying. All of a sudden. It's just like we'll be pulling up stats all of a sudden, like how many, what percentage, and who made what points. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
But that's what Caitlin Clark is doing now. It's like now you want to see what the Indiana Fever are going to do this year. Now they got both. They got both Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston from South Carolina last year.
Oh, on the spot. Dang. Ooh.
Yeah.
It might be nasty. We'll see.
Straight up.
We'll see. There's been a lot of talk about the women's national championship that we often forget that the men's national championship is actually going on right now as we're recording. Number one, Purdue and UConn are battling for the men's national championship right now. I'm looking right now. The score is currently 23-21. Purdue has like a slight edge over UConn. And he missed the shot. So they still had a slight edge over UConn.
Stop me if you heard it.
If you guys want to real quick, who you think is going to win this game? Tomorrow when our listeners listen to the show and people on Roku will see this show, the game will obviously be over. But
UConn by 10.
UConn by 12 is what I was going to say.
Yeah. UConn by 10.
I'm going to go UConn.
This is classic UConn. They draw you in and think you have a chance, and boom.
30-0 run to start the second half.
Yeah. I mean, they're reason number one in defending champs.
I think Dan Hurley has got he cracked the code on how to make it in this NIL world. Mm-hmm. I think he's cracked the code. I think, you know, back in the day, it was, you know, talented freshmen take over, you know, one and dones. Then, you know, the Dukes, the Kentuckys, Kansas, you know, a lot of the guys with the special five-star players. And I think nowadays, veterans, having transfers, maybe one or two freshmen, but like having transfers and having more of a experienced team is the better way to get progress as far as your team goes. I think there's still room. I think there's still room for like those teams, like the way it was done in the past, but not, I don't think, I think it's kind of,
yeah. Give me
five NIL has made it hard to veterans. Do that anymore.
Give me five consistent veterans versus one or two sporadic freshmen.
It's crazy. We talked about the NIL deals, and then you had the transfer portal. It was just announced not long ago as we were recording that the NCAA okayed transfer eligible rule that would allow all undergrad athletes to play that transfer to be able to play immediately.
How about it?
Yeah.
I thought that's been going.
No. Now, before, like, okay, it, certain circumstances that you were allowed to play, like, immediately. I think you can, if you were transferring within conference, you couldn't play immediately.
Yeah.
But if you're transferring, like, just from a, but now all undergrads are, you can
play. Yeah, I thought that's been like that for a couple of years, though. I was thinking it had been. Speaking of these one and dones and the Kentuckys and all that,
Calipari's gone.
Yeah. How much money is Arkansas shelling out for that lifetime contract, Calipari?
Not a lot, to be honest with you. He's making less to go to be a part of them. Mm-hmm. It's all incentive based.
Was this a shocker?
Shocker, no. To Arkansas, yes. Shocker, no, not talking anymore, no.
I'm pretty sure people reading who saw this on social media when it broke in Arkansas thought it was a fake.
Right, maybe. Yeah. In Arkansas, they're like, oh.
We're not this fortunate. I know people who are still.
This is a good thing. It doesn't happen to us. Hold on.
On that, Corliss Williamson still brings that championship up.
Right.
I know people who still right. shout to Dennis Winston, man, and my buddy, man. But yeah. That was a long time ago. But he's I know he's one of these people that's happy to be getting John Calipari.
I don't know why.
It's crazy.
Hey, I'll say this and I'll get up off of it. He didn't want to get yelled at for having being a bad coach and having a sucky team.
Yes. Oh yeah, because Kentucky was going down in the dumps. I think they were like spiraling anyway, right? So he was trying to, pop smoke, get out of there as soon as he could. That's exactly what I thought when I saw that happen. Like
he broke up with them. Arkansas broke up with him.
Exactly. And he reached out to whoever would have him first.
Yep.
Arkansas. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll come play for you. I'll come coach you guys.
Yeah. Musselman left for USC and then that opened up the gates for Calipari to make his grand exodus. Exactly. Stuff like this is why I don't mind the transfer stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Calipari recruited all those guys that Calipari recruited, Are you think any of them are going to go to Arkansas? I don't think so. They know who Calipari is as a coach. I never liked him as a coach. And he was just fortunate.
And then number two, have you been to Arkansas? Exactly.
No.
Hey, before we jump off of the NCAA, I was watching both, like, obviously the men and women's tournament. Do you think it's time that the men adopt a quarter format over the two halves?
Yes.
I think it would make sense logically because the next step is, like, we don't know why they adopted the halves in the first place because everything else is quarters.
Yeah.
But I think it separates the college game from the pros. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I would say no. I would say keep it because it makes it unique. And, gotcha. Like, when you're pouring money into something, you don't want to seem like you're pouring money into a diet version of something else. So I think the two halves versus the four quarters makes it a little bit unique. I know it sounds crazy, but it just little things like that make a difference.
Hey, that makes sense. That makes sense if you think of it that way, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like if Coke is sponsoring both the NBA and the NCAA, it's like you're sponsoring two different things when in fact you're sponsoring the same thing, but just at different levels.
Yeah, exactly.
You can convince yourself it's different because of the format.
Right. Speaking of the NBA, we are in the last week of the NBA. I think the end of the season is Thursday.
Yeah.
All teams that are going to make the playoffs are already in the playoffs. This week we see where the chips lie, so to speak. What do you want to talk about? Let's see. What do you feel like? You think the Lakers are there right now at the ninth position in the play-in? You think they move up a little bit, or you think they stay in the play-in? Could they move up to that sixth?
I tell you what, I'll know more if they can beat the Warriors. Mm. If they beat the Warriors, I think they'll move up to at least the eight. Mm. I think their schedule. They have the Warriors and the Grizzlies their next two games. They have three games left. So if they could somehow beat the Warriors, which they've had trouble doing, and they'll get by the Grizzlies, who have nothing to play for, I think that will put some pressure on the other teams because, like we talked about before we started recording, the Suns have a tough schedule to finish out. New Orleans, tough schedule to finish out. The Warriors, not necessarily tough, but they think they have one or two out of their next four that they could lose. Same thing with Sacramento. So if they could somehow get to that A spot to just where they can have one game to get the seventh spot, that would be great for them. Okay. But it's definitely intriguing for sure.
Okay.
I think New Orleans is kind of spiraling. They're kind of, I won't say spiraling. They're kind of like, they're good and bad. It's like they have a good game, then a bad game, then a good game, then a bad game. So I think they're still trying to put together. I think Ingram has been out. So they're trying to find out who's going to not necessarily replace Ingram, but like kind of augment his role. Mm-hmm. And so that's been kind of the struggle. But then you have guys like, you know, Zion's been doing his thing, and I don't think he's gotten enough credit for finishing an entire season like he's done this year. And he's played very well. And
yeah.
He didn't make the All-Star this year, but, I mean, he's averaging, what, 25 and 8, something mm-hmm. crazy like that. So definitely look out for him. And if it ends up being that when we talk about seeding, I like seven seed. So seven, if New Orleans can stay put, mm-hmm. New Orleans and Denver is a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, it is.
I think. And then, yeah, it is. Then and that would put the Phoenix and OKC. And then that will put Dallas and the Clippers. Mm. So I like those matchups. So I mean, long story short, I want the Pelicans and the Lakers to make it, and I want the Warriors and the Sacramento Kings to go home. Yeah.
Okay. You think they get out of here? Okay. What about in the East?
In the East, as is.
I mean, I think it kind of.
I do think it will, but at the same time, I can't bet against the Hawks because they love to like spoil stuff.
They do.
They love to come in and spoil parties, dude. That's what they do. I think they beat the Bulls and like they put up a good fight against whichever team doesn't make it out of that 7-8 game, and I think that team ended up winning. So I'll say. Give me Miami in the seventh spot. Mm-hmm. Give me the Sixers in the eighth. Philly in the eighth?
Okay.
Philly in the eighth.
So you got them flopping?
You got them flip-flopping?
Yeah, I got them.
And I like that, too. I like that, too, because if they
I got Miami beating. I got Miami beating Philly in the play-in tournament.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I got you. So that will flip-flop, put them at seven. And if they stay at seven, if that happens, they get seven. I like that against the
Bucks. That's that matchup you've been looking for, that Bucks. That's
the matchup I want, that Bucks and Miami Heat matchup right there. I don't know what it is, but we can
beat the Bucks. It's like rabbit's foot, man. We can beat the Bucks.
Your shirt hollow point is screaming you got a 13th seed pulling it out, but.
What's that?
I said your shirt screaming you got a 13 seed Hornets pulling some kind of miracle. Yeah,
no. No. I wish they would care about playing. They don't. I don't know if it's the city. I don't know if it's organization. I don't know. Like, they just don't care. They want to make money. They like the Clippers used to be. As long as we're making money.
Oh, yeah.
They care about making money. That's it.
As long as you're doing stuff.
Yeah,
we'll be all right.
Yeah, but I think, like I said, that would put Miami and Milwaukee, and that would put Boston and the Sixers in the first round.
Woof!
Bye, and then that's Orlando, Cleveland, and then that's let me get my. I don't even have this.
Let me see. Orlando. I'll tell you right now.
Now that'd be Orlando and Indy.
Orlando, yeah. And then
Cleveland and
Knicks.
Cleveland and New York.
Which would be a good series.
Yeah. We already know Randall's not coming back for the season. So I think as long as they get OG back and you still got Brunson, who's a dog, and I think that's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah.
He is built tough. Like, I've never seen
Bronson is that dude.
It's so messed up because he makes you think that it's possible to play basketball at that level. Mm-hmm. But you're not him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you're not him. Like, he is a one of one. Like, he did it with Villanova. Mm-hmm. He did it at Dallas. He was just underrated because there's no way this kid's getting into the paint whenever he wants and do what he wants. Nope, he is. He is. And he's fearless. And he's like,
he's not the typical basketball build.
Right. He can't be the leader of your team. He's under 6 foot, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Blah, blah, blah.
And it's like, he's a dog. And it's not even like people want to try to compare him to, Isaiah Thomas, which is a mm-hmm. cool comparison, mm-hmm. but he's not even that. He just gets to where he wants to get. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like he's ultra physical. Mm-hmm. He's just elusive. He's very elusive. He's quick. His first step is bananas, and that mid-range is second to none.
Bro.
And if he gets
bro, the mid-range, space, the mid-range in this day and age is so underrated, man.
It's it so, is, but it shouldn't be because it's it like, shouldn't be. Think
that's
of
the bread and butter right
successful.
There.
That's money, yeah. right?
That's bread and butter right
these there. Little dinkers. And that's what Brunson, like, predicates his whole game on, which is I love to watch. I'm not a big Knicks fan, but I like watching him play because I'm like, man, that's cool that guys, regular dudes, get to play in the league against these daggone behemoths.
And yeah.
All these athletic dudes, you know. So it's just it's very cool to see. Now, like I said, it makes him and Curry make regular people think they can play in the league, which is false.
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't,
you can't do what he does. So
yeah. You can't.
Unfortunately not.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm very excited about the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
You know.
Very excited. I mean, man, I've been following the NBA all season. I was like, I'm going to follow it. I'm going to follow the teams. I'm gonna get in it. I'm gonna be after it. I'm going to become that subject matter expert.
There you go.
See, so, like, I'm kind of happy for myself that I've been able to do that.
All right. Honorable mentions, fellas. Honorable mentions.
Go ahead, Wyman.
I got one. University of Alabama's adapted sports team. Alabama Adapted what? Athletics.
What is that?
It looks
synchronized swimming or something?
No, it's basically paraplegics or people in wheelchairs.
Oh, okay. Special Olympics.
Pretty much, but it's called Adapted Athletics.
Okay.
We can't say Special Olympics anymore?
Well, it's not
Special Olympics. It's college. The University of Alabama.
Yeah. So this is like collegiate competition.
Okay. I didn't know that was a thing. That's cool.
They had a four-peat in basketball.
A four-peat.
Wow. Yeah. I thought this was like something brand new, but apparently.
Apparently they
got shout out to them for real. Like, yeah, that's crazy.
So they said, I didn't realize we had college sports now.
Hold on a second. I see what you're doing. You're going to make me hate on some. See?
Listen. Hate on the school.
I see what you're
hate
doing on the right now.
All you want.
No.
you can hate on the school. You just don't hate on that group of.
You're athletes. A real asshole right now.
Damn. Dude.
You're a whole asshole, dude.
I thought you guys were bad. God. I thought you guys were bad for booing kids. Wow, you want
you're gonna make me boo
that. First of all, hold on.
Hang on now.
We never booed kids. We had no faith in their coach.
No, hey, okay, well, you're very prepared, very much so prepared to boo some kids. Because no matter
I'm saying, like you get me right. That's
no matter who that coach
that's
was,
a setup.
Yeah, it was a setup. 100%. I believe it. He tried to get you.
He tried to get you.
Oh, it hurt so bad. What you got, my boy?
Oh, man. You know where I'm going. The WrestleMania 40 just concluded. They had a two-night so you gonna follow extravaganza.
Up my athletes that can't walk to wrestle.
I'm out. WrestleMania.
What's going on here?
and for those of you who were living under a rock, Cody Rhodes finished his story.
He defeated the American Nightmare,
the Roman Reigns, and the Bloodline to become the undisputed WWE champion. So
blah blah blah.
Oh,
is he done crying?
Actually, yeah. He started 40 minutes of it.
I'm pretty sure.
You told me not to blur. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah,
but I know.
Yeah,
shout out to that. It was a great event. And they had, it's WrestleMania week. So they have all of their, like their NXT and all their stuff leading up to the big thing. And then it was just, I mean, probably the I said it was probably the top three best WrestleMania I've ever seen, and I've seen them all.
Yeah,
so I would say there's the top three of all time in my book.
Yeah, and the Rock is best dressed.
Man, get out! What? Like, let me get your tailor, sir. Let me get your fashion designer. I need it. Man, doesn't it look like the Def Jam Final Boss?
That's what it felt like. Like the whole it's production.
Def Jam all over again, man.
Because this was the first WrestleMania without Vince McMahon. The very first one without Vince McMahon.
Triple H.
They didn't mention him one time.
Nope.
They didn't mention him one time. They made no reference to him whatsoever. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of Bloodline. I love that whole storyline. I hated to see it end, but I get it because that was Roman Reigns was Vince McMahon's champion. If we're going to usher in a new era, kind of need a new face, a new champion. So, I can't wait to watch after we're done recording. Because that's when, you know, in about an hour is when it's going to start off. And hopefully Hollow Point doesn't continue to ruin it for me. But
I didn't. I stopped. Whatever.
I kind of know what to expect a little bit. But
that's because you watch wrestling. It's not because of me.
Whatever, bro. You did say something. So anyway. But I'm looking forward to it, man. I can't wait. Bro. Can't wait for it. My honorable mention was WrestleMania. No, you're good. I kind of figured we both had it. I thought it was a well put together show, man. And you say top three, I say top three as well. Easily the top three WrestleManias I've ever seen. And I've been to three, so like it's definitely. I wish I could have been in that one. I wish I could have went there. But yeah, that's it, man. Any shout outs, fellas?
I would like to give a shout out to my son's newly created 15U team. It is the Severn. Man, was the Raiders? I think it is. I think it's the Raiders. Hold on. I want to get it wrong. It's the Severn. Yeah, it is the Raiders. Raiders. So big shout out to them. They start their season on Wednesday. And he's his first go at it. He's only 13, playing in 15U, so he's super nervous about it. So shout out to him. And also shout out to the Birmingham Stallions, who are 2-0.
Let's go. Mike?
My shout out would be to, obviously South Carolina women's team for what they did. That's the biggest shout out, but Major League Baseball, it's back, it's full. The Yankees are rolling. Soto is showing what we spent for him. And apparently Stanton has so far remembered how to hit the baseball again.
Yes, he has.
Yeah. Calm down, dude. It's April. Calm down.
Yes, he has.
Y'all know better.
You know
who won't win this year though? The Cubs.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're doing our thing too. You know who didn't win Sunday? The Dodgers. You're welcome.
hey, Hollow Point. How does it feel that you saw the only championship in your lifetime?
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I felt pretty good.
It did. I'm just saying. I'm not even a Cubs fan.
Not even for me. I hope they go another 108 years without winning one.
That's terrible.
And Boston can go even longer.
Yep.
All I can say is for this weekend, suck it, Dodgers, 2 out of 3.
My shout out to all of my day ones, all of my listeners, all of my old listeners, new listeners, of course, day ones. Thank you guys for tuning in with us, for rocking with us, with this 4 years of doing this podcast. It's been fun. I appreciate you guys. I shout you guys out as well, because, you know, without y'all, there's no Truth in Toe Sports podcast. Thank everyone. All of our supporters, man, really, really appreciate you guys. we got a lot in the bag for this year, man. There's a lot of things we want to try, a lot of things we want to do. And we're going to do them because we're going to do it for you guys. Continue to go out there, subscribe to us, subscribe, like this video, share this video with your friends. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend about Truth Be Told Sports Podcast. What else? Shout out to the Northeast Streaming Sports Network on Roku. Janice, thank you guys for thank you guys for watching. All of you guys who checking this out on YouTube, like I said, tell a friend, subscribe, like, do all that stuff. Comment below. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know if you have anything you want to, you want to see us do. I don't think I have anything else. You guys got anything?
Nope.
Yep.
Good. Shout out to the Roku channel once again.
Mm-hmm. And everybody.
Elite Sports Entertainment Network.
Yep. And the Elite Sports and Entertainment Network and the Roku channel. Shout out to you guys. Thank you for watching. For Hollow Point, White Mike, for Horace Jr., I am King Cooley. We are Truth Be Told Sports Podcast. Rest in peace, Kobe. We're out of here. Peace.